Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I am joined by Corporate Partnership Activation Coordinator for the San Antonio Spurs, Alex Embry. On the show, Alex and I talk about the power of patience, the importance of building genuine relationships, and the power of those relationships, and why you should always pay it forward whenever you have the opportunity. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. I'm super excited, as I always am, for each and every single episode that I do, and I just want to say welcome to the show, Alex. How are we doing today?
Everything's great, man. It's good to be here. Good to see you, you know, and appreciate, again, like I said, having me on, and look forward to talking some shop.
Absolutely. So what I like to do, you know, with the start of every episode is kind of bring a little context about what you do, you know, for everybody listening in, watching in. There's been some changes for you recently. So can you kind of catch us up to what you did? We got a little spoiler alert on the lid today. So what's been the latest with you?
Yeah. So, you know, after graduating Lynn 2018, I spent the last three years with the Magic with their in the business office and the partnerships team up in the Lakeland Magic and the Orlando Magic. And then in November 2021, I started with the San Antonio Spurs down here in San Antonio, Texas. So, you know, graduated Lynn Sports Management, took that degree and ran with it and got an awesome opportunity with the Magic. And then, you know, when the San Antonio Spurs give you a phone call, you know, that's a call you pick up. And I was very excited to get the opportunity and, you know, really pumped to be here.
So can you talk about that phone call? What was that like? How did that all come to fruition for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I will say, you know, 2021 was definitely a rough one. You know, obviously with 2020 being what it was. We had some, you know, working in the sports industry, you saw a lot of teams kind of go through some, you know, some furloughs, some changes, and, you know, the Magic were so great. They kept us on for a long time. And again, I worked on the G League side and with the G League team. And they kept us, you know, they kept us around for a while. And sadly, you know, during the bubble season, we weren't part of that. So I was furloughed for a couple months and was looking at a couple jobs and, you know, saw an awesome opportunity in San Antonio. I mean, again, you know, the Spurs are one of the best organizations in the NBA. So, you know, when I got the opportunity to, you know, I applied there and they gave me a call and it was just an awesome, you know, connection and just to talk with them, you know, hear about the culture, hear about how they kind of operate just through the interview process. And, you know, you hear about the things, you know, you see Greg Popovich and the way he runs, you know, the team on the court, it really trickles down to off the court as well in the business office. And you know, when you, like I said, when you get a call from San Antonio, you know, that's something you pick up and there's a lot of exciting stuff, you know, down here and a lot of stuff that I didn't know about that I'm really excited to be a part of, especially with the growing market in Austin and, you know, with the fans that we're generating there and then down to Mexico City as well. So we've got a really awesome opportunity here. And like I said, you know, it was an amazing opportunity.
So if we take it back a little bit to coming out of Lynn, you're graduating from Lynn, you have the sports management degree. So that's a good step in that direction, getting into the industry. But what was that whole journey like of getting into the professional sports? Because I know from a lot of people, I'm sure your experiences, it can be tough at times, you know, or how did you approach that coming out of college? Because was the work that you did with the Magic the first job that you had out of college?
Yeah, so I started with the Magic and ticket sales, and after one season, had the opportunity, the chance to, you know, they gave me a promotion to the corporate partnerships account executive. So my job was then to sell sponsorships and marketing packages to companies, and really what I learned at Lynn, you know, was really, you know, not really who you know, but who knows you, and really trying to connect with people. And you know, and the sports industry, it's a competitive industry. You know, you're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to do a lot. You're going to, you know, and, you know, one thing I knew my dad told me is you have to sell ice to an Eskimo in Alaska sometimes. You know, never, you know, if you ask me my senior year at Lynn, would I end up in Lakeland, Florida? You know, I probably, and then San Antonio, Texas, I probably would have said no. But, you know, you got to jump at any chance you get. And Lynn gave me some awesome opportunities, you know, to take my degree and meet some awesome people, you know, a lot of credit goes to Ted Curtis and you know, going to the you know, the baseball winter meetings, learning to connect with people there, and obviously the awesome sports management program they got going on there. So was really just excited to kind of, you know, take some of my connections that I knew and Orlando. My parents had just moved to Orlando as well. So it was really, really a blessing to be in the same area as them and then just get my career started there and with Orlando.
I think that's an interesting twist that you put on it there, is not necessarily about who you know, but who knows you. So how do you go about, and we could talk specific to the sports industry, how do you go about creating, I guess, your own personal brand, you know, when it comes about that? So people, you get your name out, you know, and people can learn about what you do, who you are, and, you know, create opportunities for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about just, you know, connecting with people and talking to people and staying connected. You know, obviously LinkedIn's a great resource, but also just going to any type of in-person, you know, connection event. You know, working with the Magic. You know, we did a ton of chamber events in the community, going out and meeting people and just showing face and representing. You know, obviously I represent the Magic then, but also represented myself. And my family. And I think that's something that, you know, that's extremely important, no matter what you do. And I think that just obviously introducing yourself, you know, strong, obviously, you know, I remember, when I was at Lynn, the career center, I was doing like those, soft skills, class, you know, instructional videos. And so, like, you know, obviously firm handshakes, eye contact, asking someone about themselves and just kind of getting to know them. That goes a long way. You know, people love talking about themselves. So you can kind of just, you know, get a chance to learn, you know, learn about them, and they'll remember the face. They'll remember having those conversations, and, you know, those meetings will really take you a long way. And, that's why I always take every relationship I have in the industry and really try to, you know, make the most of it and follow along. And, you know, people, especially people that work really hard, you want to keep those people around.
And when you're first getting into it, whether it was the baseball winter meetings, when you're still in school, did you go to the Final Four too when you were here?
I did not. I did not go to the Final Four.
Oh, no.
I wish.
Yeah, no, I know your basketball is number one for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, baseball is always, you know, obviously I grew up playing baseball. I didn't have a chance to play in college, but, and obviously fell in love with basketball again at Lynn. And, but yeah, the Final Four is a heck of an experience. The MLB, you know, just to have those opportunities, and not a lot of schools can do that. And, it's again, a lot of credit goes to Ted Curtis and that crew over there.
So thinking back to those experiences in getting into the first job with the Magic, then we'll touch on the Spurs, you know, in a bit, and you can, you know, kind of go whichever angle you want to touch, you know, were you nervous? What were you feeling like getting into your role, getting into the job in professional sports?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, it's definitely some nerves. You know how competitive the industry is, and everyone wants to work in sports, and, you know, going into ticket sales. So ticket sales is one of those roles that, you know, they really try to flush people out that way, because it's tough. It's a tough grind. You know, you really got to cast a wide net. And sadly, I actually interviewed to do a job in Orlando. I didn't get it. So they said, hey, we have a position with our G League team in Lakeland, and, you know, I'm going to jump at the opportunity no matter what. Wasn't something I thought about, but, you know, you really got to, and this is, again, something I learned at Lynn. You got to make the most of any opportunity. You know, there's resources that are given to you, and, you know, you got to take that and run with it. And, you know, after one season of grinding, you know, in the ticket sales, and they gave me a chance to do partnerships, and, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later, but partnerships is a transition, just because the conversations are better, are different. The process is different, but, you know, just going in, though, you knew how competitive it was. You know, you just had to kind of hit the ground running, working hard, and showing what you got. And I was able to make the most of what I had.
What was the biggest thing that you kind of learned and discovered for yourself in ticket sales, which sales is sales, you know, regardless of what industry it is. And I was talking with, I don't know if you remember him, Rigo Beltran. Remember the name? He played
baseball on my team. Yep.
And so he's in real estate now. And that was one of the things we talked about when he was on the show, was how do you go about selling in not coming? Cause I think selling in itself gets, you know, the reputation of you're in sales, you're a slime ball, you know? Yeah. And so how did you go about selling in a way where you felt good about it? You were efficient, you were effective. What were some things that you picked up in that regard?
I think that we touched on it earlier. The big thing with sales in general is relationship building. I mean, I started ticket sales in May 29th, which is the day after Memorial Day, 2018. So 2 weeks after graduation, and I didn't make my first sale until August 8th. And it was like a 5-game plan for like $90 to, it was one ticket. It was like one little thing. But what obviously made me successful was just building relationships in the community, getting involved, you know, and being out there and showing face, and people just recognizing, because they didn't buy the product because the product they wanted to buy it from me and support, and that meant a lot to me, for them to support, you know, myself and being out there, and that obviously extended, you know, through, you know, the next off season where I was, you know, I don't remember how much exactly I sold to, but I was able to, you know, to have it, it's really, like I said, relationship building. The best sellers are the best listeners, because you really have to, you know, you really have to take, you know, hear what the client has to talk, you know, has to offer, wants to talk about, and what their goals are. And that's obviously where, you know, the goals go from personal goals and ticket sales, you know, to marketing objectives and, you know, company objectives in the partnerships around which I'm in now. So, it's really about, like I said, relationship building, listening really, and just hearing the client out.
And can you think, and this might be putting you on the spot a bit, but can you think back to, you know, one of those times where you built that relationship, and share a little story about that, built a relationship that you built and saw that maybe early on in the conversation, the initial conversation didn't really go anywhere, but because you kept with it, you know, something, you know, came back later. Was there any instances like that, you know, during your time doing that?
Yeah. I mean, just again, I'll stay in ticket sales. So, you know, obviously in the G League, you want to sell as many tickets as possible. And the easiest way to do that is doing group nights, you know, getting small groups out, you know, large groups out. So one of the groups I had was the Kaiser University, which is right next, you know, 10-minute drive from the arena. So I was able to have their sports science program come out, and their teacher, you know, he'd been, you know, we'd had conversations going back and forth, and he had been a fan. He ended up buying 2 courtside seats, just obviously, you know, continuing the relationship. He, you know, he loved having, you know, the kids out there. They had a great time, and he, you know, he took a love for it too. And we were able to kind of sell him some courtside seats, and he was able to come out to pretty much he and his buddy, and they're great fans. And he came out to, you know, all the games that they could, obviously before COVID kind of shut everything down, but, you know, just building those relationships again. And those were awesome. And I'll even tell another story too. One of my favorite groups that I worked with was the Special Olympics. And I actually keep on a wristband here, from them. And, you know, they came out and they would play on the court before the games, and selling that experience was a ton of fun, and having those memories. And, you know, when I left, you know, when I moved from ticket sales to partnerships, I always said, I'm keeping that relationship. You know, I'm not, you know, those kids are awesome. They mean a lot. So, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, you remember, just because not just from the sale and the number that was attached to it, but just the process, like you said, and then the relationships that are built afterwards.
And I love that. And such a big believer in the relationships and the power of relationships. And like you're talking about, building genuine ones, not just like that, hey, here's my business card, give me a call, you know, having to be transactional, you know, so that's good stuff. So let's talk a little bit about that transition from the ticket sales to the partnerships, what that was like, and then again, how that kind of led to what you're doing now.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, ticket sales is pretty much, you cast a wide net initially, you know, you try to make a bunch of phone calls, and then say, you know, hey, here's literally our product, you know, buy what you know, what can we get you? Partnerships is more about, it's more goal driven. It's a, hey, you know, you speak with, you know, the CEO or a CFO or CMO, marketing director, because we're selling marketing assets, and talking to them and saying, hey, you know, how can the Lakeland Magic or the San Antonio Spurs, the Orlando Magic be a marketing arm for you all to build your brand and meet your goals, whether it's, you know, whether it's in PR and community, or whether it's on social media, or, you know, do we get a player appearance to come out and drive fans to your store? So it's those type of conversations. Like, you're not going to make a sale or you're not going to make a transaction right then and there. This is something that's built out. You know, you got to understand marketing budgets, got to understand that. So that's, again, you're building a different type of relationship. You're building, you know, you're trying to find out, what can we do to meet your goals in the long run? And, you know, I always say, what I loved about my job is I was able to ride a free roller coaster at Legoland and have free food at restaurants just because they wanted to show off their product to us. And that was a real pleasure in itself to have that ability. But like I said, the conversation, you're not casting a wide net there, because sometimes, you know, a bank, for example, we want to be the exclusive bank. So like we make this sale, we're not talking to another bank. We're in ticket sales. You can, you know, sell as many banks as you want. But this one was more like, hey, you know, if we want to pony up some money, we want to be exclusive. That's part of our goal, is to make sure that no other banks kind of jump in this area. So Again, it's those conversations, and then that process usually can take a month, 2 months. You know, in the NBA, it can take, you know, 4 or 5 months. You know, you start to have relationships, you start to build those conversations, and build, you know, obviously they grow on a much, much bigger level. So, it's a different type of process, and it's a much more meticulous. It requires a lot of patience, which I've definitely developed since I graduated, Lynn. But it's a ton of fun because, you know, it's like I said, it's a lot different. You're not grinding out there. You're not casting a massive wide net. You know, it's not 100 phone calls a day. It's really just relationship. Like I said, it's really relationship building, you know, tactical conversations.
So when you were, whether it was patience or, you know, something else that you're gaining along the road, and I do want to talk about the patience thing because it seems to be a hot button topic.
Sure.
But when you came across something, whatever it is, where you're like, man, I'm not too familiar with that, on whether it's the marketing side, whatever, you know, it was for you, what did you do to put yourself in a position to gain the confidence, you know, okay, to learn about it? Who did you talk to? How did you approach that when you ran into something where it's like, I'm not so familiar with that, I'm not really sure what to do? How did you handle that?
Well, there's always going to be instances where you're going to be in a situation where clients are going to ask a question and you might not know on the spot. The worst thing to do is to give an answer that you're not sure about, and then having to go back on it later. So, you know, being transparent and saying, hey, I don't have the answer for you right now, but I'll go back to someone, I'll go back to a manager, I'll be able to give that answer as soon as possible. You know, stowing that confidence in them and saying, hey, like, I'm not going to lie to you right now. So let me be like, honesty, full transparency is really the best policy. And you know, you don't want them to find out, you know, they got lied to. And, you know, that's a big part of it. So yeah, being patient, going back, finding the answer. I don't have it right now, but I'll get it for you later. And that goes a long way.
So what was your earlier relationships, you know, back in college with patients? What was that whole dynamic like between patients and Alex Embry?
Oh man, it was, we fought on a daily basis. Yeah. I was definitely someone that, you know, if a class was running long, I was like, I just felt like, you know, it was stagnant. I was looking at my phone all the time. It's like, when the heck can I get out of here? You know, I'm very routine oriented, and was back then too. So I always want, you know, like, oh, if it's my last class of the day, like I'm trying to get to the gym right afterwards, or I'm trying to go to the calf or lunch. You know, I was really trying to, you know, move on to my next thing. And even waiting on people, you know, I was definitely not the best at that either. I was very much, you know, go, go, go. Which, you know, I still, you know, my bosses say, hey, Alex, slow down sometimes, you know? So I there are some things I still got to learn, but yeah, patience was definitely at Lynn. I was always on the move, always trying to go, go, go. And, learning to slow down, learning to kind of breathe sometimes, learning to be okay. Like we're going to get to, you know, our destination, our answer eventually. But yeah, that was definitely a learning process for me.
Were there any experiences, you know, along the road that kind of stick out to you in terms of when you needed to develop better relations or helped you, you know, develop a better relationship with the patients and said like, hey, okay, I got it, I can really slow down now? Was there any instance like that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of personal relationships really help with that. You know, obviously not jumping to a conclusion, not like getting mad at somebody, just taking a breath and be, okay, let's break this down one time, you know, let's, you know, cost benefit analysis for getting upset. You know, that's a really good, you know, that helps me a lot. And okay, like what's the end goal? Just breathing and thinking and taking a second, you know, and like I said, I learned a lot of that in my personal relationships that I have taken to the business world too. So, you know, just taking time. That's really been the big thing. And obviously growing up, maturing, learning, you know, going through life lessons, that's kind of helped along the way as well.
Just taking that extra second for the little deep breath, you know, it's good for it. Good for the soul. So jump into present day now. We're in San Antonio with the Spurs, and you talked about the culture and how that really stuck out to you and going through the interview process and how the culture was so apparent, you know, in all facets, on the court, off the court, in the front office, everything like that. So I think that's so important when you're going into jobs, because in a lot of times, in a lot of instances, you feel like, oh man, they're interviewing me. But it's also important to understand that you're also interviewing them, and it has to be a good fit both ways. So can you talk a little bit more about what you were looking for in an organization, that what that culture looks like for you that, and that represents for you?
Yeah, like I think you hit the nose. Like you got to, when you go to an interview, you have to come prepared to ask questions yourself. You know, you got to make sure it's the right fit, you know, and also when you come in and asking questions, you know, you sound prepared. Like you sound like you, you know, you sound like you want the job. You've done your research, you're going in and you're doing all that. And that is, like you touched on, very important. One of the things I was looking for, you know, coming out of, you know, the short answer coming out of COVID, you know, I'm someone, very social person. I want to be back in the office. I want to know kind of what the back to the office plans was. You know, when I was back with the Magic after furlough, you know, we were in the office every day after Labor Day. And that was awesome, you know, again, to meet. And the most important part of that too, was we were really rebuilding the office. I ended up being the longest tenured employee there. So when I was looking at the San Antonio Spurs, like, hey, how can I, like, what is our back to office plan? You know, I want to be able to meet my new, if I'm going to a new market, I want to be able to meet my coworkers and develop those relationships. And that was really something that was important to me. But also, you know, growth opportunities, you know, I want to kind of hear about, you know, what makes someone successful in this role. And how can I be better and how can I help the team in that capacity? But then also, you know, I have my own end goals and what I want to eventually become and how, you know, how the San Antonio Spurs, you know, who are known, you know, for that internal growth, you know, how can I essentially be, how can I be better on my own personal standards? Like how can I grow and how can I jump at opportunities, you know, that'll help me in my future, like I said. But I'd say those two things, you know, back to the office on an immediate standpoint, but also just growth opportunities. And then how can I be successful at the role I'm in?
So where are you headed now? What does that look like for you on that personal level? What are you working towards each day? What's that big ultimate goal for you?
Well, what I love about the partnerships role is you really work with every single department. You know, tomorrow we have an awesome event with Michelob Ultra. And, you know, my guy, Eric, who works in the account, he had to coordinate with basketball operations to get a player appearance out there. And so we're lucky to have Keldon Johnson out at the event. On a marketing standpoint, we want to promote this event through our social media channels. So working with them on getting those posts up and promoting that. And then, you know, obviously reaching out to, you know, working with our partner and seeing what they can do. So you're really, and then you obviously work in ticket sales with certain projects as well. So, you know, you really work with every department. And obviously, I do have a love for basketball and the bat and the player operations side. Had an awesome opportunity to do that, you know, work with guys at Lynn in that capacity as well and develop those relationships. But I think, you know, the big thing for me is, you know, I want to work my way up. You know, you saw last night the Warriors holding up a trophy. You know, I want to be on that stage one day. In some kind of form, and you know that's really the goal. You know, I was able to win a championship, you know, with Lakeland on the business side, and that was really cool to get one of those rings. But you know, it's kind of to be someone that's really responsible for building that. You know, building that team, building that culture is really what, you know, I'm looking to do. And I think being on the partnership side, you learn so much. And you know, there'll be a fit for me, you know, in some role one day.
No, never a doubt coming from this end here, and I'm excited to see what that's going to look like for you. So as we're coming to the end, it's always that bittersweet moment for me where it's time to cash out, whether it's bitter because the show's coming to an end, but it's sweet because I know you got something valuable to leave the folks with. So what do you got for us today?
I think the big thing is paying it forward. You know, that's why, you know, I was speaking with, you know, our assistant GM in Lakeland, you know, when I was kind of trying to figure out what I want to do. And, you know, he was really, you know, giving me a ton of great advice. But the real big thing is, you know, when you're in a spot to do so, pay it forward. You know, find, you know, there's many people along the way that help you out on your journey. And you know, coming on podcasts like this and speaking, you know, on this and anytime I can just talk with someone from Lynn or talk from anyone that wants to come up in the industry and just kind of, you know, talk shop. That's really paying it forward and giving advice and finding ways to help others. That's what's really important. And that goes a long way. You know, good things happen to good people. I truly believe that. And I think that's something that, you know, especially in this super hyper competitive industry, you know, it'll go a long way. So I'm, you know, that's my thing. You know, I'm always looking, you know, to pay it forward. And I'll always remember that conversation that he and I had.
I love it. I love it. You certainly paid it forward today and you're one of the best out there. So I appreciate you coming on. This is a blast, and I'm excited to see you lift up the trophy here soon.
I appreciate that, Fagan, man. It's always good to catch up.